This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show, along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. And in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, and in particular, UA students. So you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can listen online at wvuafm.ua.edu. You can also go online to the you can also download the MyTuner radio app and type in WVUAFM 90.7 and find us there. Also, if you have any ideas for upcoming shows, this is just our second show of the fall semester, so if you have any upcoming show ideas or topics, please email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu, and I'll consider using your show topic. Also, let me remind you, if you have any questions for myself or my guest, you can use the same email. I'll try to give it out at the end of the show again, so you can, if you want to, you can send us some questions. We'll try to answer those somehow. Tonight's topic is an interesting topic that I was thinking about how I was going to intro the topic, because it's been a while since I've been doing this, many years at the Counseling Center, and I can remember students telling me about cleaning, and it wasn't necessarily like an OCD thing, obsessive compulsive, or a compulsion, just that cleaning helped them calm their nerves and cope a little bit. So I thought this would be a really good idea for a show, and I don't know why I didn't think about it sooner. How cleaning helps college students feel their best. It's the topic for tonight's show. When some people are feeling overwhelmed or stressed out, they might try yoga or mindfulness or even a massage, but for others, giving the shelves a quick dust, wiping down the kitchen, or even organizing the closet is just as beneficial for their mental health as using a mindfulness app. I took that from an article that I'm going to reference in just a minute, but first I want to introduce my guest tonight, Brian Sansoni. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, a nationally recognized cleaning expert and senior vice president of communication outreach and membership at the American Cleaning Institute. Who knew? Thanks for being on the show, Brian.
Oh, it's great to be with you and your listeners and to talk about the positive aspects of cleaning.
Tell us about yourself. Tell us about your credentials, I guess, and why you're interested in this, and what is the American Cleaning Institute? Never even knew it existed.
Yeah, so here we are really focused on cleaning. I mean, cleaning is literally our middle name. So it's our organization represents the companies that manufacture soaps, detergents, cleaning products that you'll recognize, the brands that you'll see in your local grocery stores. It's also the companies that make the products that keep our offices clean, our college campuses clean, our healthcare facilities clean, and the companies that make the ingredients that make all of these products work. So obviously, we're kind of focused week in and week out a good bit on proper cleaning, hygiene, and the positive contributions that these products do contribute to health and quality of life. So part of what we focus on is sharing information with a variety of audiences week in and week out on making sure you're using the products the right way, whether it's in your dorm rooms, your homes, or professionally, where there's some training involved, but for most of us, it's just using the product the right way at the right time for the right purpose.
I think I learned about you through, I think one of your representatives reached out to us about you, but also I might have read something about the American Cleaning Institute in some of the articles that I did for the research for the show. I can't remember right now because I read so many. Yeah. And you know, is there research on how cleaning does, does the Institute do the research? Who does the research and how valid is the research? You may or may not can answer this, on how it cleaning really does help with mental health.
Yeah. So, that is an interesting question. So because we focus so much of our communications and discussions on cleaning, so we will pay attention over the course of time to papers or research or articles that look at different aspects of cleaning. And certainly we'll notice studies that look at that. And we have seen over the course of years, you know, certain researchers have looked at that. You know, there was, for instance, there was a study a while back done at Indiana University that, again, and this was from the summaries, that people with clean houses are healthier than people with messy houses. And one of the analysts wrote, in summarizing that particular study, participants who kept their homes clean were healthier and more active than those who didn't. And there's other studies and researchers, psychologists have looked at the effects of clutter and disorganization. And I think there's been numerous studies and papers that have looked at that. But even I think as we look at that in our lives, whether, you know, we're on campus and we're busy, especially if you're a freshman, this is a whole new world for you.
Yes.
And it can be very easy to just let things pile up because you got a million things to do. You're in new classes, you're meeting new people. And cleaning can, or any clutter can get away from you. And you think you don't have enough time. And I think we try to share a lot of good information to help you, one, either prevent the clutter from accumulating or how you can deal with that just over the course of your natural college life.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was just making some notes while you were talking. I don't know if college students, you know, college students have the reputation of being messy, et cetera, et cetera. I've had to go in a few of the dorm rooms for mental health issues for students. And, you know, I've witnessed students who are either severely depressed or maybe even have anxiety or whatnot. When I've had to go in their apartments or their dorm room, you know, one of the things I hate to say this, but that I noticed is how horribly messy they are sometimes. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some college students who don't have any mental health issues and they're just as messy, right?
Right.
You know, I think that's just a personality trait sometimes for some people, but I don't know if the students, sometimes I'm not sure they put it together or make the connection that clutter is somehow maybe related to the anxiety and the mood issues that they're having. I want to try to make a note. I mean, I don't think we could actually do this, Catherine, on our intake form to ask students, you know, oh, how messy are you? You know, I don't think that that is going to fly, but I don't think it would be a bad idea to ask students to get more regular with me and other therapists, asking students like, you know, do you keep a clean house? Does it matter to you? Have you made that connection? I mean, what do you think about that, Brian?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because this is going to college is a new stage of life.
When an adjustment.
You're a freshman, it is an adjustment, all right, and that can even be an understatement. And many college students, this may be their first time away from home for an extended period, living with people that they don't know. So there's all kinds of new life changes that are right there. And, you know, one of the things we did at American Cleaning Institute, this was back in 2021. We thought about putting together this material that we'll talk about called The Class of Clean. At that point in time, because of COVID, many students hadn't really spent any time on campus because for many, their first year of college may have been completely online, even at a campus they're supposed to go away to. Or some students had been away for a long period of time. So we thought this was a good point in time to create materials, easily downloadable, shareable on social media and smartphones, to kind of help students, whether you're, no matter where you are in your college career, present good information, usable information on, you know, whether it's hand hygiene, doing the laundry, being a good roommate. Yeah. And we thought, and these are our skill sets that can last a lifetime. A lot of habits can form in college, good habits or bad habits. And, you know, look, we see that there's so much to learn when you hit the college campus. Cleaning on your own is often one of those lessons. So why not help, you know, these many students, because there's new students every year. And we're in our, what we call our sophomore year now of the class of Queen. And again, yeah, we think more students are back now, probably, or all students are back. So this is a great time to talk about, you know, the simple everyday benefits of cleaning, for your health, both physical and mental.
Yeah. And, you know, I think many students, freshmen, like you said, they're making that adjustment. I think sometimes they're having issues too with, they've never really been asked or forced to clean after themselves. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but I think maybe they have a housekeeper where they're from, or they, their parents do it for them, or they just don't care. Yeah. There's always those that just, you know, but that's interesting. I have not heard the class of cleaning, and that's I bet there's a lot of research being done on that.
Well, yeah, and so as a matter of fact, so as we went into the second year of this effort, the sophomore years, we try to keep in tune with it. You know, so we undertook some research of college students. It was conducted for us by the firm Wakefield Research, just to try to get get a snapshot of college students' attitudes and behaviors related to cleaning. And two things really popped out to us, BJ. One was nearly more than 90% of the students that were surveyed recognized that a clean room helped them feel their best, both mentally and physically. Okay, so that was just conducted earlier this in the summer of 2022, but at the same time, nearly 3 in 4 of those students said they were less than completely prepared to clean on their own upon first arriving to college. Now, the survey results, some were more prepared than others, but about 3/4 were less than completely prepared. So we think having this information available, and I'll share the address in a bit for the students, for everyone, or all your listeners to access that information. It made it more important than ever that we wanted to share this information with the college campuses nationwide.
Well, I wrote that down. More than, I mean, 3/4 is a lot. I'm kind of surprised at that, but it goes back to what I mentioned a few minutes ago about just having it either done for them or just not knowing, honestly, not knowing what needs to be done to keep a clean environment. And, you know, we're talking about hygiene, of course, but we're also talking about picking up papers off the floor, making your bed up. I mean, it was a big deal. I remember when COVID started and everybody was working from home, the big thing everybody talked about was get up and have a routine and make your bed. That was like a big deal for mental health, you know.
Yeah, and I think that same psychology, as it as it were, you know, just applies to, you know, everyday life. And again, in your dorm room, you're right, making your bed, that's, you look, you got that done. And then you go, you know, typically you may go, then if you go get a clean up, go to the, you know, you take a shower, you're working out, and then you come back and clean up. So, you know, a lot of the things that are normal to us, hopefully we're still doing, like just that basic hygiene. But the interesting thing is, BJ, after all of us going through, living through the pandemic, where things that we took for granted, basic hygiene, I believe instinctively now are more front and center for us, even though, you know, hopefully the worst of the pandemic is behind us and we're back on campus. We're not going to take these basic habits for granted. So it's just something, you know, washing your hands after you go to the bathroom, before you eat, take the hand sanitizer along in between if you're not near soap and water.
Right.
You know, that part. And then cleaning around us. I think, and again, it doesn't take much time, especially if you're in a smaller dorm room. So I think there, just doing it a little bit at a time, cleaning goes a long way.
Yeah, I was in one of the articles that I read before in researching for the show. One of the suggestions was, if you feel overwhelmed, and I think some of the students do because they're doing a lot. They're going to class. They're taking four or five, maybe six classes, maybe even working. That if you're overwhelmed, you can, you know, ask somebody to help you if it's that important to you to have your environment clean and clutter free. But also, what you just said, I think, triggered something in me to make a suggestion, maybe even time out how much you clean, like maybe even give yourself 30 minutes a day. And once that 30 minutes is up, you're done for the day. Whatever you can get done, you get done. If it's a small dorm room, I mean, 30 minutes, you could probably clean the whole thing up in 30 minutes. Let's get real.
No doubt. And the good thing is, again, let's just look at, you know, cleaning a dorm room. You're right. It doesn't take a whole lot of time.
No, not at all.
And so many, obviously, practically every college student is using their smartphone for some reason or another. They spend a lot of time there. Use that to your advantage.
Guilty.
Set an alarm to say, okay, I'm cleaning Tuesday night at 8:30, or I'm doing my laundry Saturday, whatever works for your schedule. But use that technology to your advantage to clean however it works for you. And that way, I think, creating those habits that, you know, because at some point, you know, when your classes are, you know, throughout the week. Right. So you have a schedule.
Yeah.
So use your smartphone. All right. I'm going to spend 10 minutes dusting. And because many people suffer from allergies or asthma that can be aggravated by dust, and dust loves clutter. So I just think, you know, whether you can just use those little electrostatic dust sheets, you know, that can pick up dust on, you know, your computers, your desktops, or the little floor mops. You know, again, it's not a lot of materials, products that you need. They're quick and efficient. So you don't need an advanced degree to clean.
Not at all. Let's we've got an email question, if you don't mind answering this one. I don't know if you can answer this or not, but let's give it a shot.
Okay.
What is the best way to approach a student with this information so that I don't sound like their mom telling them to clean their room?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, you know, and to preface that, you know, some of the research, again, that American Cleaning Institute undertook, you know, of college students said that 71% of college students at some point argued with their roommates over cleaning.
Oh,
so at some point,
all the time. Yes.
Yeah. So it's common. And so one of the materials that we created is actually called the Good Roommate Checklist, which we'll share this with your listeners, how they can easily download it. One thing you can do, and again, it's just, one thing that the person could do to share with the person who maybe is not cleaning very well, it says, hey, thought you might want to check this out. And then you could email them the link to this about being the good roommate. It's, you know, in a subtle way, and it tells you, hey, here's about, you know, daily or weekly cleaning, you know, in your living space. I mean, if you're in an apartment, sharing an apartment with roommates, you know, if there's a kitchen or the bathroom, so, because obviously a lot of kids live off campus too, so this information is good for them they have more to clean. We think share that good roommate checklist. It's part of our class of clean toolkit. So, and it could be a subtle way. Hey, I thought you might like to see this.
Yeah, I mean, I hear, of course, the biggest areas of contention are always the kitchen. Yeah. Sometimes the bathroom, the bathroom, because in the dorms, in here at the University of Alabama, most of the dorms, they're sharing bathrooms. At least two people are sharing one bathroom. Okay. But the kitchen is the big one, and the common area, you know, like the living room area. Those are the big ones. And yeah, I think it would be a good idea, maybe even at the beginning of the semester when you're just learning these new people or these new roommates, if you don't know them, that would probably be the best time to shoot them one of these emails with the link on it, you know, in a nice way. You have to tippy-toe around sometimes, or else we have to come into the picture at the counseling center to break up.
The good thing to know is, you know, we have kind of move-in cleaning tips that, it's a resource that you'll be able to share on campus. Because again, it tells you, when you unload your boxes, you know, you're just moving in. So is the room kind of dust, you know, is it, you know, make sure if it's dusty, dust right away before you start, you know, storing everything. But that way, there are some good tips there. And again, in the bathroom, do you have just a few products that you need? Bathroom cleaner, disinfectant, or wipes? You don't need a whole closet, just a few products. But that way, you want to be respectful of your roommate and your own space. And you're right, the kitchen area. What did you cook in that microwave that it's an absolute mess? Yeah. So simple little things can go a long way ensure that you're having a good relationship with your
roommate. Does the Institute, and maybe you touched on this at the beginning of the show, but specifically, does the Institute market to the universities and colleges? I'm sure you do. Not just to give move-in cleaning tips, but also, you know, to really promote it as the university. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So one of the things we did this year was reach out to one of the organizations that represent college housing officers to share those resources, and as one way to do that, and then perhaps they could distribute it to RAs around campus, and perhaps to offices like yours. And I'm sure as we go into the junior year of the class of clean next year, and we're going to undertake some more research next year, look for other organizations so it can be disseminated far and wide. But I think that's you're offering up some very good information. Make sure universities at large, the offices on campus for campus life, know about this, because this is really good practical information that, you're right, you know, there is that line to mental health, that this simple, understandable information can be of great use to colleges nationwide.
Do you, I don't know if you can answer this, and honestly, Catherine, maybe you can help me with this. Another email question that was sent to us: at what age or level of development do individuals recognize that a clean living space decreases anxiety? That's a tough question, I think, because, you know, I've known at my private practice, I've had little children who automatically, you know, they are automatically knowing. I think they probably model it from their parents, maybe. Yeah. Some of it may be personality traits, but they automatically know to, like, pick up around them. They're learning that in school as little children most of the time.
Well, we certainly, you know, look, all of us come from a million different backgrounds and circumstances. But I think that point does reinforce what impact parents can have on the habits of their children as they move on to college. So ideally, there's hopefully some experience over the course of that child's life as they get older, of, you know, cleaning in the house, knowing how to do the laundry, which, you know, that's a head start. And, you know, as you come to college, that's kind of one less thing to worry about. So yeah, there can be some huge influence there. And again, all that situation, it's really determinant on those backgrounds. But ideally, if there's some learnings, you know, as the child grows up in the household, some basic understanding of how to clean, how to do laundry, you're that much further ahead once you step foot on campus.
Yeah, I know you have to go in just a minute, and the show's gone by very quickly, and there's so much more to talk about, I'm sure. But can you've mentioned already the Good Roommate Checklist. Yep. Where can listeners find that? And what other resources do you have? Do you have any other suggestions for any books or apps or either other podcasts?
So what I would suggest is, as far as the Class of Clean, which is the college students guide to clean, you can find it on the website of the American Cleaning Institute. Here's the address. It's cleaninginstitute.org/classofclean. cleaninginstitute.org/classofclean. There you'll find our easy downloadable tips you can share on your smartphones, websites, heck, put it up on the wall if you need to. But we have move-in cleaning tips. How about cleaning with a sick roommate? That's a concern.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, the Good Roommate Checklist, Laundry 101. Again, some students are doing it, figuring out for themselves. And heck, even how to clean out common college stains. Some good basic information. But again, these are habits that can last a lifetime. And across our website, we have year-round hygiene, cleaning, disinfecting, laundering tips at cleaninginstitute.org. But for this particular information, cleaninginstitute.org/classofclean, shared around campus, a lot of great information to clean for better health, for your everyday health, and ideally for mental health too.
Yeah, I bet you never imagined cleaning would be taken to another level, you know, but now that we've gone through this pandemic,
yes,
hopefully we're on the end of it. It's forever changed the way we think about cleaning, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, cleaning is more essential than ever to public health. And ideally for mental health, but it does not have to take a lot of time. Cleaning is easier than ever with all the innovations that are there.
Yes, yes.
A lot of it surrounds common sense, but we just want to help college students establish good habits that can last a lifetime.
Yes, it's beneficial. Thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're busy, and I really appreciate it. I think this will be one of our most popular shows because we really haven't talked about anything like this, and it's important for the, you know, what we talked about with COVID and flu season. Here we are.
Yep.
You know, flu season's coming up. So this is
absolutely
wonderful.
So
information.
Cleaning with a sick roommate, our fact sheet there will be of help. And as we do surveys in the future relative to college students and cleaning, we'd love to come back and talk with you more about what we find out.
Sure.
And
thing.
Some additional resources for everyone on campus.
Sure thing. Thank you so much. Take care. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listen to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and today we're talking about cleaning as a form of coping, I guess you would say. I just had on the show Brian Sansoni, and Brian He is a nationally recognized cleaning expert and senior vice president of communication outreach and membership for the American Cleaning Institute. I had no idea anything like this existed. Probably due to the pandemic, this has become more in the forefront, you know, of people's minds. Not so much necessarily college students. I'm not sure about that. But what we left off talking about was the importance and the benefit of cleaning your environment and your living situation to make it a little more beneficial for your mental health. And, you know, Catherine's going to talk to me a little. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the actual benefits. We didn't really get into that as much as I would have liked to, because Brian had to go. He had another scheduled event, so he had to go. So I would like to talk a little more about, you know, why it's good. You know, I'm a little bit worried about talking about cleaning for coping, just because I'm a therapist and I think about how is this going to go too far. I don't want it to go into, like, you know, compulsion. Or one of the questions, one of the email questions we had, Catherine, and we didn't get to it with Brian, and maybe you and I can answer this for the listener, is how students can use cleaning as a healthy outlet, which I'm going to mention in a minute, to reduce stress, like having a clean environment to study, but not to cross over into using cleaning as avoidance, which I actually have had students, especially, I hate to say this, but especially students who are diagnosed with attention deficit or attention difficulties, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they can get hooked on cleaning and they don't get to what they really need to be doing. And that's a problem. Have you ever had a student with that issue?
Yeah, I've found that they use it as a procrastinating tool, and it's not intentional, but it becomes that tool of, oh, I have to clean before I can study, or, oh, I need to do this. And it kind of becomes subconsciously our brain's way of avoiding those things we don't really want to do.
Yeah. And even though, I mean, the research I found, you know, there's both, I guess, negatives and positives to cleaning, but it sounded to me like a lot of the research, there's more of a negative to having a messy room, mm-hmm. especially if a person has a personality trait of feeling like they're not in control of their environment. You know, one of the articles I read is called, it's a study published in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin. I guess it's a journal. Found that women who describe their, I don't know why they said women, but whatever, women who describe their living spaces as cluttered or full of unfinished projects were more likely to be fatigued and depressed than those who describe their homes as restful and restorative. So, you know, it's not really something you talk to somebody necessarily about on a daily basis.
Right.
But I guess that's true. And I'm serious about mentioning it to students from mm-hmm. now on, maybe in my intake or my screenings that I do with them, because it might be a good way to kind of see another aspect of what could be contributing. Some students might just say, forget it. I don't want to talk about that. I'm fine. I don't care about cleaning up. I'm okay living in filth. You know, I've had students tell me that before.
Yeah.
But then there might be some who need to do something about it, mm-hmm. I guess you could say.
Well, I can see. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I can see with, like, even somebody with anxiety, when you have a lot of unfinished projects or something that's very messy and you don't know where to start, that can feel really overwhelming. And for a lot of people with anxiety, they just shut down because they don't know where to start or they don't know what to do first. And it seems like too much. So instead of being able to say, I'm going to start in this one corner to clean up, is just so overwhelming, they shut down.
And that's where I think, that's where I think a checklist would help, like Brian mentioned, and also what I mentioned about timing yourself and just giving, you know, actually set a timer so that you hear it go off and you can tell yourself, okay, I've done something for 30 minutes. I've made a small impact. You know, that's one of the suggestions in one of the articles I read is start small, like you mentioned. But having some people will start small and the next thing you know, it'll be 2 hours later. And like you said, they'll be procrastinating. So that's why I think it's a good idea. You know, I think a big factor, and I talk with students about this, and I'm sure you do too, when they feel like they can't organize themselves. Like, I have a lot of students who come in and the first thing they'll say is, I don't know how to organize myself and I'm not getting anything done. And I'll ask them, you know, some students are list makers, or right. they'll have an agenda, and I'll ask them to bring those in. And what I notice immediately is that they have a bigger to-do list mm-hmm. than what they can mentally handle.
Right.
So they do feel overwhelmed. And one of the first things we do is really break that down into priorities, yeah. maybe two or three things that they can get done that right. day and feel accomplished.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
I think that's something where cleaning can really be helpful too, in that you feel like you're accomplishing something. You can look, and after you've cleaned, whether it's a small space or a big space, you can look at it and really see what you've done and feel good about it too.
That's important. Mm-hmm. That's important to feel like you're making some headway.
Right.
It gives you, I think that motivates you to keep doing it too.
Right.
Exactly. Another suggestion, and I think I touched on this when Brian and I were talking, is to involve others if you need to. Like, ask yeah. for help. I think that's hard for people to do in general, mm-hmm. maybe even harder for a college student to do, because sometimes if you have a roommate who's defensive, you can't ask them for help. You know, right. he had a great suggestion with the checklist, but I can also see that going awry.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have a good relationship with the roommate.
Mm-hmm. Same. And I think even sometimes just having that, I guess, like emotional support of having your roommate talk to you. If you're close with your roommate, just talk while you clean up together, or, you know, just talk to you while they sit there maybe and do homework together, but you could clean together or just talk and have that emotional support while you clean. It helps sometimes hold you accountable or feel like you're held accountable.
Definitely. Brian mentioned, we touched a little bit on the benefits of cleaning and decluttering. He mentioned it improving mental health, but not only mental health, physical health. Mm-hmm. And I did read something about that. There was a study done at Indiana, and that's what he mentioned. And I bet it was the same study about people who clean houses. People with clean houses tend to be healthier than those with messy or cluttered homes. In fact, cleanliness was even more a predictor of good health than the walkability of a neighborhood. Can you believe that? Like, for some people, it helps their physical health even more than walking in the neighborhood. That I can't believe that. But it's researched, so, you know.
Right.
And also what I mentioned, to gain control, another benefit is to gain control over your environment, because mm-hmm. Another study from the University of Connecticut found that in times of high stress, people default to repetitive behaviors like cleaning, because it gives them the sense of control during a chaotic time. So I've never really, and nobody can see me do the air quotes, don't you hate it when people do that, mm-hmm. air quotes, I've never really prescribed anybody to clean their room, because I feel like at this age they should know, right? They don't need somebody like me telling them, clean your room. But I don't think it would be a bad suggestion for some people who do benefit from repetitive behaviors.
Yeah. And I could see where it's really helpful with the pandemic, because there's so much that is out of our control and the students' control, right. and being able to have control over that one small piece, especially now that we can find cleaning supplies. There was a point in time when it was hard to
find. Isn't that the truth? Supplies. You couldn't even find
like wipes.
Hand sanitizer. Wipes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So you hoard them.
Right. Yes. But, you know, being able to have that sense of control, we can't control so many things that are in the outside world, but we can control ourselves or what we do, and keeping our environment clean and protect ourselves.
Makes you feel safer.
Right. Exactly.
Improving your mood. I think that's just, and reducing anxiety. We've touched on that. I think that is kind of common sense right there.
Yeah. But I think it's part of that cycle too. You know, if you can help motivate yourself to do one thing and you see that sense of accomplishment, that can help give you motivation to keep working or maybe do some of your other tasks like homework. But it can create a more positive cycle rather than that negative spiral.
Yeah. And it can give you more time to do those things that you need to do, because if you're really worried about how messy your apartment is. And I've had students that were really worried about that, or they've got parents coming or friends coming from somewhere else, and that's on their mind. You can't get other stuff done. You can't get other tasks done. One of the things we mentioned, ADHD, and one of the benefits in the article I'm looking at right now is to be able to clean and keep your apartment or dorm room clutter-free increases your focus. So, you know, clutter also limits your brain's ability to process information. So there really is a biological reason that it's better to unclutter not only your room, but it unclutters your brain.
Right. And I can see where with ADHD, if you have a certain time set aside to clean, whether it's weekly or daily, and have it not be that same time that you're going to need to study, that can help it become not a procrastinating tool.
That's right.
Your brain's not, let me do this instead. Mm-hmm. And you're also maybe not losing things as much if your desk is really messy and you have to find your homework.
That's a good
before
point.
You can start on it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Well, this has been a great show. I hope it'll be informative to listeners. And I appreciate the people who emailed the questions in. Those were excellent questions. We always have interesting, good questions that I just don't seem to come up with. Yeah. From listeners, not viewers. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted to Apple Podcasts. Also, they're on audioboom.com and voices.ua.edu. Just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on our Counseling Center's website at counseling.ua.edu. I want to remind everyone, if you have any ideas for show topics or if you have questions about shows, give me an email shout out at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. I almost forgot it. And I'll try to answer those questions for you. You know, I like to thank the people who've made our show possible. Not only Catherine, she's my colleague and our production assistant, Terry Siggers from the Office of Student Media. Also, our executive director, who's always very supportive of the show, Dr. Greg Vanderwall. My colleagues at the Counseling Center here and the WVUA staff who help us and always edit for us and put it on Apple Podcasts. My guest tonight, Brian Sansoni. I just can't talk. It's been a long day. Sorry. Next week, I cannot wait for the show next week because I'm a huge nature person, outdoorsy person. For those of you who don't know, I'm a beekeeper, so I love being outdoors. If I could do the show outside, I would do the show outside. So our show next week is going to be very interesting, and it'll be interesting to see where it takes us. Leave your troubles behind, and that's LEAF. Leave your troubles behind. How to de-stress and grow happiness through plants, which would be, I think, a great suggestion for students with their apartment. And you know, you can't really have animals unless they're helping service animals in the dorms, but you can have, you know, plants. So I think that will be a great show. So tune in next week at 6:00. Again, thanks for listening to Brain Matters. Have a good evening.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you're in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.